from the studios of Earth First. From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. No compromise, news, views, poetry, and music. When we can manage to get it together.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees. Something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run.
Welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Every week I bring you no compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movements. There'll be a lot of announcements today, and we'll read some headlines about various things that are going on. And in these announcements and stories, you'll hear about the folks who are killing the planet and the folks who have detailed information about what's saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please go get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this is not couch potato radio. It's activist radio, and I urge you to take the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in a tripod, a tree sit, or locked down at the road blockade. Of course, Earth First Radio can use your help if you have announcements or news about what's going on in your bioregion. Send it by email to cruzef@cruzio.com. That's cruzef@cruzio.com. Or you can send regular mail to Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. That's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Be sure to send those announcements at least 3 weeks in advance, like these folks did. Healing Global Wounds announces Honoring the Mother on Mother's Day at the Nevada Test Site, May 7th through 10th, coming up in just a couple of weeks. As they do every year, they'll have community building celebrations, dawn daily sunrise ceremonies, sweat lodges, programs to honor and empower youth, nonviolence training, and action. They will be honoring women in the community and the movement, and they'll be having a special Mother's Day brunch and rally. Help break the nuclear chain and reclaim Shoshone lands. If you want further information, write to P.O. Box 420, Tecopa, California. That's T-E-C-O-P-A. Their zip is 92389. Once again, that's Healing Global Wounds, P.O. Box 420, Tecopa, California, 92389. Or you can try their phone at 760-852-4175. That's 760-852-4175. Or if you'd like, prefer to use email, they are at hgw@scruznet, scruznet.com. That's hgw@scruznet.com. Once again, May 7th through 10th, Healing Global Wounds at the Nevada Test Site. And also coming up here in the next few days is a May Day gathering in Florida, April 30th through May 2nd at the Ocala National Forest in Florida. Workshops will include climbing, forest watch, labor organizing, food not bombs, blockading, nonviolence, radical history, and food choices. If you'd like directions, contact the Green Monkey Collective. They're at P.O. Box 17838, Clearwater, Florida, 33762. Once again, that's the May Day gathering at the Ocala National Forest, April 30th through May 2nd. That's next weekend in Florida. The Green Monkey Collective, P.O. Box 17838, Clearwater, Florida, 33762. Or you can try their phone number, 727-538-9050. That's 727-538-9050. And also coming up here shortly will be the Midwest Rendezvous. This is being presented by North Forest Earth First. It's happening May 21st through May 23rd. And it'll be somewhere. It doesn't say where they're going to be, so you're going to have to contact North Forest Earth First at 748 Algoma Boulevard. That's Algoma Boulevard in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, 54901. Once again, North Forest Earth First for information about the Midwest Rendezvous, May 21st through the 23rd. Their address, 748 Algoma Boulevard, Oshkosh, Wisconsin, 54901. Or you can try phoning them at 920-424-0265. Once again, 920-424-0265. In other upcoming events, the Cove Mallard Spring Action Training Camp. Join us in our beautiful base camp for action training workshops of all kinds. Lots of stuff going on. This event is a kickoff for another summer and fall of resistance in the Otter Wing Timber Sales of Central Idaho. Contact them at P.O. Box 8968, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Once again, for the Cove Mallard Spring Action Training Camp, May 26th through the 31st, P.O. Box 8968, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can try calling them at 208-882-9755. That's 208-882-9755. Or you can email to cove@moscow.com. That's C-O-V-E at moscow.com. They have a little note here. We eat curry lentils and we never sleep. Oh, what else is happening here? Of course, a little later on in the spring, actually the first few days of summer, will be the 1999 Round River Rendezvous in the Gila National Forest. If you have a t-shirt contest. They're having a t-shirt contest, and they want your entry really quickly. So if you have a t-shirt design for the 1999 Round River Rendezvous, Gila National Forest Rendezvous, June 21st through the 28th, submit your t-shirt designs to Tucson Earth First, P.O. Box 3412, Tucson, Arizona, 85722. That's Tucson Earth First, P.O. Box 3412, Tucson, Arizona, 85722. All right. I'll stick that one up with local stuff. If you are going to be near Victoria, British Columbia, May 12th through 16th, they're having a Power of Unity gathering. This is a gathering of grassroots resistance, strength of community, awareness of place, diversity of people, creative action, and the power of art. A grassroots gathering of thought and action, structured forums to do all kinds of stuff. A gathering envisions bringing many groups of resistance into a united voice demanding change. That sounds really great. Once again, this is May 12th through the 16th in Victoria, British Columbia. Here's your contact info. Mail goes to 500 East 11th Avenue, Vancouver, British Columbia, V5T2C9. And address again is Power of Unity Gathering, 500 East 11th Avenue, Vancouver, British Columbia, V5T2C9. That's the Canadian version of a zip code. And you can try their voicemail at 604-682-3269. That's 604-682-3269, the extension 9035. Or send your email to powerofunity@tao.ca. That's powerofunity, all one word, at tao.ca. And that sounds like a wonderful thing. Other stuff that's coming up, there is a Wild Earth Resisting Ecocide. This is an activist gathering May 7th through 11th at the Suki Hills, again on Vancouver Island, British Columbia. Wild Earth Resisting Ecocide, May 7th through 11th at the Suki Hills, Vancouver, British Columbia. This is a camp. Please bring your own and do it yourself. Weather is usually fantastic, but of course it's British Columbia and it may rain. Be prepared for anything. Communal food provided. They'll have a council of all beings. The contact for this wonderful outing, May 7th through 11th, is Wild Earth BC, care of PATH, P.O. Box 19596, Vancouver, British Columbia, V5T4E7, Canada. Once again, that contact is Wild Earth BC, care of PATH, P.O. Box 19596, Vancouver, British Columbia, V5T4E7, Canada. Or mail to Wild Earth BC at tao.ca. That's Wild Earth BC, all one word, at tao.ca. Sounds like some great stuff. Okay, let's get off into animal news here. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service announced Tuesday that it would list the Sierra Nevada bighorn sheep as an endangered species under the Endangered Species Act. This action was in response to an emergency petition filed February 9th by the NPCA, whoever those are, the Natural Resources Defense Council, Friends of the Inyo, the Wilderness Society, and the Sierra Nevada Bighorn Sheep Foundation. This action is overdue, as only about 100 adult sheep of this unique race of bighorn survive. We applaud the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's responsiveness to our petition and to the plight of this. The species was given both emergency endangered species status, which lasts until December 16, 1999, and was also proposed for permanent listing. Public comment will be received on the permanent listing status until June 21st of this year. The bighorn faces two primary threats: mountain lions, which have driven the sheep out of their traditional lower elevation winter ranges, subjecting them to harsher winter conditions and poor nutrition, and domestic sheep grazing on public lands neighboring the bighorn's range. And unfortunately, these domestic sheep transmit a pneumonia fatal to the wild bighorn. Domestic sheep have already trespassed into bighorn habitat. Fatal contact under these conditions is just a matter of time. The bighorn's new status will allow government agencies to take significant actions to address both of these threats. I guess it's the National Park Conservation Association's Helen Wagenvoord, Associate Director of the Pacific Region, commented that this listing was needed to make state and federal agencies take immediate action to ensure that this animal continues to grace the High Sierra for years to come. If you would like to comment on the proposal for permanent listing of the Sierra Nevada bighorn sheep, contact Carl Benz, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, at carl_benz@fws.gov. That email address again is carl_benz@fws.gov. And in other animal news, the Southwest Center for Biodiversity and Ecology formally notified the National Marine Fisheries Service of their intent to sue the federal agency for failing to protect the California threatened steelhead trout, some of which occur right here in Santa Cruz. Joining the Southwest Center were the Alameda Creek Alliance, the Pacific Coast Federation of Fishermen's Associations, the Northern California Federation of Fly Fishers, the California Sport Fishing Protection Alliance, and the Turtle Island Restoration Network, the South Yuba River Citizens League, and the Coastside Habitat Coalition right up in the coast in Pescadero. Since steelhead were listed as threatened under the Endangered Species Act in August of 1997, the National Marine Fisheries Service has refused to issue protective regulations for the species as required by the Endangered Species Act. While the NMFS has delayed, steelhead continue to be killed by water diversions, and habitat critical to their recovery continues to be destroyed. Abuses and fish kills have occurred in over 30 streams since the species was listed as a threatened species. From Arroyo Grande Creek in San Luis Obispo County to the Russian River in Sonoma, water flows necessary for steelhead migration, spawning, and rearing are being diverted. From the Carmel River in Monterey County to the Yuba River in Yuba County, interruption of flows from dams have resulted in large fish kills. And in Gazos Creek in southern San Mateo to Loganizas Creek in Marin County, habitat has been bulldozed or degraded. So you can count on the resource that... anyway... In other news, a rash of dead endangered sea turtles have washed up on Texas shores this month. One live Kemp's Ridley sea turtle was found wedged in an illegal shrimp net and released. Another shrimp vessel has been fined for fishing with all four turtle excluder devices tied shut. Nearly 40 sea turtles washed up dead in 10 days between April 11th and 20th. Half of them were mutilated with missing heads and flippers or with no apparent injuries, both indicating intentional harm or drowning by shrimpers. It's a repeat of last year when high numbers of sea turtles washed up dead and shrimpers were found with illegal shrimp nets. Yet there has been no new action taken by Texas state or federal officials during this year. That's despite hundreds of letters, petitions, and postcards sent to Governor Bush and extensive media coverage. Please help us stop this continuing killing of sea turtles in Texas. Please email Texas Governor George Bush today and demand that he declare an emergency closure along Padre Island and create a permanent marine reserve. Here's the email address. It is at the website of www.governor.state.tx.us/email.html. That webpage for email is, once again, www.governor.state.tx.us/email.html. Or if you prefer regular mail, Office of the Governor, P.O. Box 12428, Austin, Texas 78711. Once again, Office of the Governor, P.O. Box 12428, Austin, Texas 78711. If you'd like further information about all of this stuff, there's no further information number. Darn, didn't include that. Oh well, we're on to red-legged frogs. The Jumping Frog Institute, the Southwest Center for Biological Diversity, and the Center for Sierra Nevada Conservation, and others filed suit against the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service for refusing to designate protected critical habitat for the California red-legged frog. Made famous by Mark Twain as the celebrated jumping frog of Calaveras County, the California red-legged frog is the largest native frog in the western United States. It formerly lived on the west coast from Marin County to Santa Barbara, throughout the Central Valley, and in the lower elevations of the Sierra Nevada. Today, the frog can be found only in isolated pockets along the coast, in a few scattered survivors hang on in the Sierra Nevada. It was listed as threatened species under the Endangered Species Act in 1996. Urban sprawl, logging, chemical spraying, and irrigation are the primary reasons for its decline. Unfortunately, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has refused to designate critical habitat because the specification of actual areas necessary for the frog's survival and recovery provide the public with a clear and powerful tool to prevent habitat loss. This runs contrary to the desires of extractive industries and politicians that they fund. And, whoa. And there's a terrible problem in Indonesia. The latest news from Tanjung Puting National Park in central Kalimantan is really sad. Before the May Revolution of last year, the Suharto's law was very strict in keeping the forest protection from looters and just give a chance to his gang. The English is not too good here. Now, during the financial crisis and after Suharto's downfall, everyone seems not to be scared about the law or the police anymore. People are coming into the park. They pack with the backup of some dirty government people and the police and army and are badly looting the national parks. The boss, Gelandog, or log boss, are controlling everything with their money. Most of them come from outside Kalimantan, which I guess is an island or province in Indonesia. They take logs, orangutans, proboscis monkeys, birds, and they sell them out to whomever they can pay high. Even the illegal loggers using the scientists and rangers' piers on Pondok Tanggui, Natai Lengkuas, and Camp Leakey as their piers for release of stolen logs from the forest. They are not scared anymore of the rangers, who don't have rifles, and there aren't very many of them. During the last 2 or 3 months, it is very difficult to find an orangutan in this park. They already are hiding deep inside the forest, but the area outside the national park is even worse. Please pass this message on to people who you think can help save the orangutan in Kalimantan right now, especially in Tanjung Puting National Park, central Kalimantan, Indonesia. Here, they want to build international attention to push the Indonesian government about this bad situation and even sending in a fact-finding team, but it's very important you take urgent action now to save these endangered orangutans. Here's the address, and I will attempt to pronounce this. It's Menteri Kehutanan Republik Indonesia, and I'll spell that out, MENTERIKEHUTANANREPUBLIK, Indonesia, care of Gedung Manggala Wana Bhakti. I'll spell that out too. GEDUNGMANGGALAWANABAKTI. And the rest of the address is as follows. Senayan, Senayan, dash Jakarta, JAKARTA, Indonesia. Send that letter today and help the folks, help the orangutans out in Indonesia. And here's some news from the United Nations. Forests have virtually disappeared in 25 countries and will continue to vanish unless governments change their policies now. An international commission has warned as it proposed new initiatives to save the world's trees. Virtually the only economic value officially assigned to forests today is as timber. But the report issued last Monday from the World Commission on Forests and Sustainable Development suggests that the world can satisfy its material needs from forests without jeopardizing their ecological benefits. The report recommends the creation of a forest capital index, which would measure the real value of forests in terms other than timber, such as the role they play in water management and stabilizing the climate. Making an index is not the same as being able to charge people for services, said the commission's co-chairman Ola Ullsten, the former Swedish prime minister. Nevertheless, the index can be the basis for a financial mechanism, such as credits for greenhouse gas emissions, to compensate developing countries for lost income when they don't cut down their forests, he said. The commission also proposed a host of community-based initiatives to monitor those forests, develop policies to protect them, and encourage corporations and countries to conserve them. Fixing the forest crisis is basically a matter of politics, Ullsten said. It's about governments assuming their mandate to protect their natural resources, including forests, for the long-term benefit of their citizens and the world. And I have a whole article on dams here, and unfortunately I may not be able to read all of it due to time constraints, but we'll certainly see how much we can take care of here. More than 5,000 disgruntled villagers in Thailand occupied the Pak Mun Dam site in Thailand to demand compensation from the Thai government and the Washington, D.C.-based World Bank. Eight groups of villagers affected by various development projects, including six dams in the northeast of Thailand, united at Pak Mun to demand reparations from the Thai government. The villagers have set up a settlement near the dam and intend to stay indefinitely until their demands are met. Petter 2000, one of the founding members of International Living Rivers Coalition, is planning a series of events to coincide with the year 2000 International Day of Action Against Dams and For Rivers, Water, and Life. The international... This is... stuff here. Petter 2000 is the lead group working to drain the reservoir that flooded southwest Tasmania's Lake Petter 27 years ago. The unsuccessful campaign to stop this dam gained worldwide recognition in launching the world's first Green Party. And let's go here. For nearly a century, the waters of Fossil Creek, a miracle of nature in arid central Arizona, have been choked off by dams constructed by the Arizona Public Service Company. The flows feed the Childs and Irving electric power plants built on the creek's banks. The first dam, about 100 feet high, diverts nearly the entire flow of the creek, leaving only the first quarter mile of Fossil Creek functioning naturally. The rest, a 14-mile stretch, lies barren while water is transported in an ugly scar of a metal flume from plant to plant, never returning to the thirsty stream bed. And science panel finds that Glen Canyon Dam environmental assessment is flawed. The Bureau of Reclamation's proposal to mitigate Glen Canyon Dam's impacts on endangered fish has run into a problem, potentially boosting the position of activists who want the dam's reservoir drained permanently. And moving on to other news, Wisconsin was a leader in building of dams. About 3,600 dams are regulated in the state, but Wisconsin has an estimated 10,000 dams, including farm ponds. The state is now a national leader in removing these structures as Wisconsin dams, most of them 100 to 150 years old, continue to deteriorate under the pressures of time and the rivers they alter. Examples of removals include two dams on the Willow River, one on the Baraboo River, and two more are expected to be removed within the next 3 years. The latest news from the River Alliance surrounds Saupierre Dam and the Ward Paper Mill Dam. Saupierre Dam on Turtle Creek is an economic burden and has been ownerless since the 1970s. Similarly, the Ward Paper Mill Dam on the Prairie River has fallen into disrepair. In both cases, the dams cannot simply be ignored due to safety concerns, and repair presents a far more expensive alternative than removal. It goes on and on. The Army Corps of Engineers and the National Marine Fisheries Service are holding hearings on their draft environmental impact statement and biological opinions this summer or fall, and the Clinton administration is expected to issue a decision on the preferred alternative for saving the Columbia and Snake River salmon in December. Salmon activists are taking the plight of the dwindling runs to the American people, asking for their help to save the symbol of the Northwest from extinction. And hopefully there is a bunch of Snake River dams that are going to be torn down. And I wish I could read all of this, folks. There is some good news in here about dams and taking them out. By the way, the Lower Snake River tops the 10 most endangered rivers list. And that's it for the news right now. To get your news or announcements from your bioregion to Earth First Radio, send us email at cruzef@cruzio.com. That's cruzef@cruzio.com, or send your letters to Earth First Radio. We're at P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. That's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Be sure to send those announcements at least 3 weeks in advance. If you'd like more in-depth news and information about Earth First or the Earth First movement, subscribe to the Earth First Journal. They're at P.O. Box 1415 in Eugene, Oregon, 97440. That's the Earth First Journal, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. You can hear Earth First Radio live on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM, every Thursday at 8 p.m., or you can listen to Earth First Radio on your computer on the World Wide Web at radioforall.web.net. That's radio for the number for all. .web.net. You'll need a sound card, but the software you need is free on the website. Earth First Radio is being rebroadcast on a growing number of free speech and non-commercial radio stations. Ask your local station to rebroadcast Earth First Radio. Earth First Radio is produced by the Earth First Santa Cruz folks and is affiliated with the Earth First Radio Network. Our theme music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney from the CD Keep It Wild. This is Uncle Dennis. Thank you for listening. Tune into the next Earth First Radio show for more no-compromise news, views, poetry, and music. And now we're going to listen to some Casey Neal off his CD called Riff Raff. And this one is called Dancing on the Ruins.
We're dancing on the ruins of multinational corporations, dancing on the ruins of multinational corporations, dancing on the ruins of multinational corporations. Ha, 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 ha. Say goodbye to plastic and goodbye to cars. No more convenience stores. Hello to stars. No more Wall Street and no more Pentagon. About these things makes me happy. We're dancing on the ruins of multinational corporations, dancing on the ruins of multinational corporations, dancing on the ruins of multinational corporations. Ha, 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 ha. Goodbye to polystyrene, we'll put it into the waste. There is no time for debating, we have to make haste. If we're going to survive without computer program minds, we're going to have to can pop culture. And say hello to campfires and stomping bare feet. And naked amoebas hungry to eat. Hello to primal consciousness and love for the land. Now that coyotes are running the country. condo.